In September, Philadelphia Mayor Kenney gave his cabinet 100 days to come up with a new approach to preventing violence. That deadline comes along at the end of this week. Philadelphia's homicide rate hit a 10-year high in 2018. And as part of the forthcoming plan, Mayor Kenney is expected to ask City Council to invest millions into crisis intervention teams, also known as violence interrupters. WHYY's Bobby Allen followed one of these teams as they worked an overnight shift and attempted to avert gunfights.
Shondell Revelle had a tough upbringing in Brooklyn. He's got a big scar down the side of his face to prove it. He says he didn't get that by smiling at people.
That's why I understand people so much, man. I know how it is to go to sleep hungry. You know, I know how it is to be faced with bad situations and make bad decisions.
He used to work as a corrections officer. The past two decades, he's been in Philly. He now is the executive director of the city's new Office of Violence Prevention. He oversees dozens of crisis intervention teams. Some people call them the violence interrupters.
We're going to hit the streets. You guys ready to roll?
Yep. He says this isn't about breaking up fights or chasing a gunman. It's about letting people in difficult situations know that the city can help turn their lives around.
We can't go into communities and not give them something, right? We can't say get off the corner and not give them a job and not give them some resources.
We spill into white minivans and head out. Sam White, sitting in the seat behind me, describes their approach.
We don't come into the neighborhoods like we carrying guns and badges. We come in as guests. We come in as their partners, and we ask their permission. Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? What's going on? I mean, if they're willing to engage, you engage. If they're not, you don't.
As they drive around during the wee hours, another group digs into social media for beefs between neighborhoods, which they say often starts by a post on Instagram or Snapchat. These workers tap into their former networks in parts of West Philly and North Philly and try to anticipate tensions coming to a head. But when there's no social media activity to look into, they try to broker peace after a shooting. The idea is to go to a site of a crime and try to cool things down so there's not another retaliatory gunfight. This is what White tells me as we approach a house where there was a recent shooting.
This is the scene of there was a double shooting on this block, so we're not really clear on what was going on. So in instances like this, because of the time, we're not going to knock on people's door because it's so late at night. But what we're going to do is canvas this block and leave literature for the neighbors.
Schuler approaches the house where the shooting happened. A woman answers the door holding a baby. I watch this interaction from a distance. They tell me to stay behind since the woman, Najee, is a witness in an ongoing criminal investigation. Schuler walks back to us.
Najee was the person that answered the door, so I gave her the literature, gave her the whole spill, gave her the card, and she said that she'll get back to us. Yeah.
Schuler says he made a connection with the woman. She's supposed to give him a heads up if she feels endangered again. It's one of a long list of cases they're now keeping tabs on. White says they're building trust in ways the police might not be able to.
We might not be able to figure out who shot who, but we're able to at least help the person who's there who may be the next person to shoot or be shot.
Now we go to another part of the city. We park the van. I follow Schuler as he walks into a beer deli and approaches the clerk with pamphlets about city services. Like many in this program, Schuler used to sell drugs, which is important. It makes him look credible in the eyes of people they're trying to talk to. Almost every one of the interrupters had a former life selling drugs or involved in violence. They can connect with people still part of that lifestyle. The clerk at first looks skeptical, but Schuler says, hold on, just give me a minute or two.
And we're trying to basically get the violence down within the city, dealing with shootings and stabbings and all kinds of different crimes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we give out jobs to a lot of kids within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And can I leave a few of these with you?
Schuler then turns around and chats with a group of guys drinking beer from brown paper bags. At least two of them have guns that are visible in their waistbands. Schuler makes his pitch.
Y'all got any guys y'all know that need jobs or anything? We got different programs to put them in, GED programs. The whole twist is to try to, like, get the violence down. Like, you know what I mean? We ain't trying to figure out no crime or nothing like that. We just trying to get the young boys out the way.
The guys nod their heads, take the pamphlets, and the crisis team moves on. We leave the deli and find Omar Smith hanging outside a corner store. He's 24, he went to Roxborough High School, and he has a 3-year-old daughter. He says he was shot 6 times in the leg last year.
The person that shot me was a friend since 2011, so that's the crazy part. Like, after that, I realized I ain't got no friends or none. I'm just family.
Smith says he used to sell drugs, but he says that's in his past. He recently landed a job as a cleaner at the Link where the Eagles play.
So, you know, I've been staying out the way, doing good. No, mom's calling me right now.
White, with the crisis team, walks over and grabs the phone from Smith.
Wait, yeah, he on his way home now. You say you pay the bills, though, huh? That's right. Mom paid the cost to beat the boss. Absolutely.
His mom wanted to know where he was. A crisis team member in another van gave him a lift home. Back in the van, Ravel reflects on the interaction.
Sam's talking to the mother, you know, who's concerned about her son. You know, you involve her. What issues does she have? How can we help her life? Because if you don't help the home life, right, the young man's going to go home, or young woman's going to go home, back to a bad situation.
Smith, the 24-year-old, said he's been having trouble getting into a welding training program, and Ravel promised to personally look into it.
And we'll make sure you get into that program. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right.
A big part of their push is almost being a city public relations person, except the people they're talking to see them as peers, and sometimes they're making their pitch at 3 in the morning. Take James Hopkins. He's tall, skinny, bald, with a beard and wearing a black puffy jacket. He grew up in Germantown, and he said he used to live a life of crime. His nickname back then was Yella. And as we walked around North Philly, some waved and shouted his nickname as they drove by.
Y'all just witnessed how Yella, people, everybody knows. It's just like I say, I'm blessed to be in this position of giving back, because I know at the end of the day, they could look at somebody that used to run these streets. If he could change, I could change.
City officials say their goal for the Interrupters is to help drop gun violence by 5% in the first year, with much more ambitious goals once the program fully ramps up. If it works, officials also expect it will mean the use of more city services, a jump of at least 20%, officials say. Job counseling, education, and mentoring services have already seen a spike because of the Interrupters. The hope is, with more jobs and opportunity, more people will put down their guns. Ravel admits it's not going to work in every case.
Some people just like the game. They just like the violence. You know, and it's going to be what it's going to be for them. It's the people out there that need that second chance, that need that third chance. That's the people that we aim for.
Bobby Allen, WHYY News.